Well, howdy do, everyone. Welcome back to the Spooky Soup Podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Tessa.
It has been 8 long months since we have posted an episode.
Way too long. I am so sorry, y'all.
We have had a ton of listeners reach out to us and say, what the heck? When are you posting again? So we apologize. Just life has been nuts for both of us, and we're just excited to be back.
The boys are back in town,
boys
baby.
Boys are back in town. Let's see. Don't think we have any announcements. Yeah, just a heads up for if we have any new listeners or anything, any pictures associated with our stories, we will post those on our social media, our Instagram. That is Spooky Soup Podcast. If you would like, you can send in your written stories to us for us to read them on the podcast. They can be completely fake, totally made up, or they can be true. Obviously, the true ones are the spookiest, but we love any kind of scary story. So if you'd like to send those in, you can do that. Or you can email those to us at spookysouppodcast801@gmail.com or DM them to us on our Instagram. Okay, I have the Reddit stories today. Do you have anything before I get going?
Nothing at the moment. Sorry.
No, that's great. I do want to say one thing, though.
Okay.
I am so sick of this Utah heat, and I am so ready for spooky season.
Me too.
It's already kind of started at our house. We already started watching scary movies. So
I don't think I ever stopped.
That's a good point. It's a year-round thing.
It is a year-round thing.
But, like, you could watch scary movies that aren't Halloween or, like, fall-related, you know, throughout the year.
Yeah, that's
true. But now
true.
We're starting to watch, like, the slashers that are, like, on Halloween.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, I will share. So I was looking up videos for our 2-year-old niece to watch for Halloween because I want to turn her into a Halloween person.
Hell yeah.
And
Halloween Town?
Well, I Googled age 2 appropriate Halloween movies. And one of the suggestions was Halloween with Michael Myers.
Debatable. Yeah. Whoever wrote that is wrong.
I agree. Okay. It was like the Great Pumpkin, Hocus Pocus. Halloween.
Ooh, I would even say Hocus Pocus.
Like, it's a little too scary.
Yeah, that's still too scary. You got Billy, who's like the best character in the whole movie, but he's still kind of scary looking if you're a 2-year-old. What the heck are they thinking?
I know. The statues at the end, you know, when she's singing in her shrill voice and she turns into a statue.
And
the main witch, and her face is all contorted. That creeped me out as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. And she's like, book! And
then, yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you guys have any movie or show recommendations appropriate for 2-year-olds for Halloween...
DM them to us.
I'm desperate. Help.
Help. Okay, cool. Okay, anything else?
That's it for me. I'm excited to get back into it.
All right, guys, buckle up. Let's do this thing. Okay, I have 2 Reddit stories today. This first one is titled Long-Haired Girl in r/Scary Stories, and it was written by... Friendly_basket_4824. During my freshman year in high school, the school was constructing a new building to replace the aging structure. While the new facility was under construction, we continued our studies in the old building. Eventually, as the new premises were completed, our class was moved there, leaving the old building neglected and abandoned. One day, we shuffled our seating arrangements through a lottery, prompting me to request a spot at the front due to my poor eyesight. It was this decision that led me to forge friendships with 3 fellow students who also sat in the front row, Ryan, Pete, and Ethan. Our shared crush for Rachel McAdams acted as an instant bonding factor. During one break, I needed to go to my locker, so I exited the classroom. However, as I glanced back, I noticed something peculiar, a white object floating near a classmate who was sleeping. The sight vanished swiftly, leaving me uncertain if it was a trick of the eye, dismissing it as a figment of my imagination. I proceeded to the locker. But subsequently, the bell signaling the end of the break rang, catching me unprepared without my books. Frantically, I dashed to my locker, hoping to retrieve them before the teacher arrived. I managed to do just that and returned to the classroom, but in the rush, I spotted something. An inconspicuous foot resting on Pete's shoulder. Wait, I uttered hesitantly. All right, everyone, sit down in your seats. The bell rang, the teacher instructed. I quickly returned to my seat under the watchful eye of the teacher, but concern lingered, prompting me to steal glances at Pete throughout the class. As I continued staring, I noticed Ethan massaging Pete's shoulders, as if responding to some unseen discomfort. The ghost's feet were still on his shoulders. Just as I considered telling Pete to express my concerns, he beat me to it. Hey, Jack, Pete whispered to me. You okay? Huh? Yeah, I quietly said. Oh, you keep looking at me, though. You have something to say, or am I that handsome? You're quite the opposite, but... It seemed Pete was aware of my watchful gaze. I debated whether to confide in him, but missed the opportunity when the class bell rang, signaling the start of lunch. Uncertain about sharing my observations, I headed to the cafeteria. On my way back to class, I found my friends engaged in conversation. This time, the feet were on Ryan's shoulders. As I stared, I noticed more details. The figure had legs and wore a school uniform. Our school uniform. Hey, Jack, are you listening? Ethan asked, noticing my unusual behavior. Huh? Yeah. What? With that mesmerized look on your face, did you see something you shouldn't see? Ryan asked me. No. My casual dismissal didn't sit well with my friends, and their expressions hardened, urging me to come clean. What's wrong? Come on, man, tell us, Ryan prompted. There's a ghost, I admitted. What? All three of them exclaimed. Their surprise was partly because they knew about my fascination with the supernatural and my knack for telling ghost stories. Oh, I forgot to mention, I was a bit of a paranormal enthusiast, to say the least. I even considered becoming a paranormal investigator since I'd had the ability to see spirits since childhood. But then something shifted. The ghost, which had been an elusive presence, suddenly revealed its entire form. Its head lowered, and through long, dark hair cascading over her chest, I could only discern eerie, pupil-less eyes fixed on me. Her face remained obscured, sending shivers down my spine. I tried not to flinch, maintaining a tense stare. Well, what kind of ghost is it, Jack? Pete's urgent question pulled me back. I remained silent, fixated on the ghost, yet my friends, growing more insistent, dragged me out to the hallway. Even then, I couldn't help but steal glances at the ghost through the window. Well, it's a female ghost, I muttered. Is she hot? Ethan, ever the curious one, asked. Now it's on the guy sitting next to you, Ryan, I deflected Ethan's query. Everyone who sat at the front said they had stiff shoulders today. Is that the reason? Ryan speculated. So what now, Jack? You're going to catch it or solve it, huh? Pete pressed on. Chasing away ghosts or engaging in paranormal battles wasn't exactly in my repertoire. Most of the time, the spirits I encountered were non-threatening. What do you think I am, an exorcist? I quipped. You told us that you exorcised a ghost from someone's house before, Pete, ever enthusiastic, reminded me. I just politely told the ghost to leave, okay? Suddenly, the ghost pointed in a direction outside the window, diverting my attention. Well, now it's pointing to the old building, I informed my friends. Maybe that's where she died, Ryan mused with a touch of sadness. Oh, that's why it's wearing our school uniform, I realized, the puzzle pieces falling into place. Let's head there, then. Maybe it wants us to see something, Pete suggested. I massaged my temple, feeling the stress of the sudden situation. Okay, fine. Let's go, I agreed. Before lunchtime could slip away, we hastened to the old building. However, as we approached the entrance, my friends hesitated and took a step back. Maybe you should just check it alone, Jack. Ryan's fear was evident in his voice. I was accustomed to this. People were curious about the paranormal until faced with a direct encounter. Yeah, you guys stay here. I'll quickly check, I reassured them as I opened the door and entered. Navigating the hallway, I strained to hear or see something. Then, a murmur caught my attention from inside a classroom. I hurried inside and discovered a long-haired girl in our school uniform lying on the floor, bleeding out. The ghost was trying to show me how she died.
I don't want to die, the girl moaned.
I was a bit startled by the girl's distressed voice, but one thing I learned about ghosts was that they did not want to admit that they were dead. I clasped my hands together, offering a silent prayer. I know it's painful, but you gotta let go. Release your regrets in this world.
That way you won't suffer anymore, I spoke calmly. Exiting the classroom, I closed the door, sending one last prayer for the ghost's peace. Once outside, my friends rushed toward me. How'd it go, Jack? Ethan inquired eagerly. The ghost showed me how she died. It must have been a terrible death, I explained. Then realization hit me. The girl must have died in that very classroom in this old building. A shiver ran down my spine, but I shook it off. The school had been standing for over a century. A few tragedies were bound to occur. Let's head back. Lunchtime is almost over, I suggested, leading us back to our classroom. And when I returned, the ghost was nowhere to be seen. I smiled, relieved that the day had ended peacefully. As I left school to go home, the sound of an ambulance siren filled the air. Curiosity piqued. I searched for the source, and my eyes landed on the old building. There it was, a body being carried out by the paramedics, the body of a long-haired girl.
I was gonna say, could you imagine that you're dying on the floor and someone comes up and they're like, release your regrets.
She's like, bro.
I'm dying.
I read this story to my wife last night, and she was like, wait. So she was alive? And it was like, no. I think what's happening was she's a ghost. She was just showing how she died. I think it was just like that final moment where she just needed some clarity from someone. And because he was there, he could see her. He acknowledged her, and she was able to make peace, and her spirit finally dipped. But with them bringing the body out, it must have been like the same day. So So what I love about the story is like it opens your mind to possibilities. There could be a second part to the story where the teacher was the killer.
And
girl was just like, no one really knows her because she was from a grade below or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I saw it as the body was building more and more on the shoulders. Mm-hmm. The girl was dying further, and it was her spirit leaving her body.
Oh, so it was
so it was like asking for help, saying, I'm dying over here. Somebody help me.
I just thought she was kicking her feet back. Just needed somewhere to put her foot, you know?
Oh, yeah. What's up with that? You said a foot on the shoulder, I was like, huh?
Have you seen the movie called Shudder?
No, I haven't.
I believe it has Jake Gyllenhaal in it. There's a... hold on. I'm Googling it real quick. So there's a Japanese version, and there's an American version. I saw the American one because I heard the Japanese one was insane. Okay, sorry. It's not Jake Gyllenhaal. It is Joshua Jackson. Anyways, so that movie is... I won't spoil anything too much, but there is a ghost from his past that's haunting him. And at the end of the movie, you see in the reflection... I guess I am spoiling the ending, but it's been out for over 10 years, so whatever. You see in the reflection the girl ghost sitting on his shoulders, and he's like rubbing his neck and shoulders like, oh. So that's, yeah.
Oh,
and that movie freaked me out. I think I saw that when I was like 16 in my friend's creepy unfinished basement, and it just like messed with me for years. So
was this your friend that lived in an old morgue?
No.
No?
Different friend. Same group, though. But anyways, yeah. So it's creepy. If you like a good scary movie, there you go. It's from the people who made, it's from the producers of The Ring and The Grudge. So if you like those, it's right up that alley.
Yeah. I need to add that to my movie list.
There you go. All right. This next story is also from r/scary stories. It is called The Georges, and it was written by Pantarium. My father was that kind of a person who'd seen the good in everything. He made some really good investments since he was in his mid-20s, and because of that, my family was well off. Mostly, he would buy old houses and fix them up and sell them for a fairly good price, and that was just something he was really good at. He had many properties and was a good landlord with dependable tenants. Always good rent prices and never raised a cent on anyone's rent, which just made his clients devoted. He traveled a lot in the surrounding towns, always looking for new properties to invest in, and the one of all the places he wanted to buy was this one house that sat with no one to care for, and honestly, it should have been demolished. That's just how bad it was. This house was so old, and the woman who died in it was a really bad hoarder. He had his money cut out for him, and he just took it as a challenge, Of course I'd help also, but this place was rank. The thing that really got to him was that the woman living in this house wasn't just a hoarder, but she had kept her dead husband's remains in a corner bedroom on the main floor for who knows how many years. His coffin was brought into the house for a wake service, and apparently she just couldn't bear to say goodbye to him, so she decided to keep him home, which prompted her to be a loner. All family abandoned her because of this idea of hers, and wouldn't bother to visit because the stench of death was always heavy in the air. No one would bother trying to move the casket of Mr. George, so after she died, they just boarded up the house. My father, who had major respect even for the dead, did the most honorable thing and paid for a burial plot for Mr. George, and even had a funeral to which no one had shown up to since the family had all decided to abandon their Mrs. George, the mom. It was sad, I will admit, but my father was the only one who showed respect and being the only one at the funeral. We cleaned the house and even found a few antiques, but nothing else of value, so a lot of it went to the garbage. After doing all that, we did the renovations, and soon enough, the house was looking brand new. New foundations in the basement, we replaced some of the flooring and even added a back deck to it to make it look more of a home. Look like more of a home. It was small and cozy, which made the price go up a bit, but still very much affordable, even just to rent. It didn't take long for a family of four to move in, and they were happy. My father was also happy, and things were going well on another house flipping. That was until the strangest things had started to happen. The family that moved in, the Franklins, enjoyed the home for the first few weeks, and that's when my father started getting phone calls from them, saying that maybe there had been a burglar targeting their new home because they had been finding things out of place or just gone missing. So my father, being the person that he is, set up a security system with cameras set up all around the house, and even put cameras in the house, which he gave full control to the Franklins, of course, just to monitor the premises and hopefully to catch the thief or thieves. After the first few nights, they had caught nothing, and keeping my father updated with the situation, but it might have just been a coincidence. That was the hope the Franklins had, but something more sinister was at work, and it just took a better look to see what was really going on. One night, my father got a phone call at 3 a.m., and with him only living about a half-hour drive away, they called him to come over. When he arrived the next day, the Franklins were shaken up after the whole ordeal they apparently went through. They showed my father the footage they had caught, and what he had seen really shook him up to the point that he offers the Franklins a new place, rent-free for a few months, and of course, they take the deal. What happened was that in the security footage, they caught a man standing beside the children's bed, watching them sleep, and in the kitchen, you could see an old woman rearranging things and hiding them in places they shouldn't be. Some footage also shown that the old man would stand right where we found Mr. George's casket. For hours, he would just stand there, going back and forth to stand over the children's bedside. My father couldn't believe it, and I sure as hell couldn't either. We kept the footage and never showed anyone, and my father, being the most respectful person I know, he kept the house and left it as is. He had shown that the Georges were still living there, and he didn't want to do anything about it. I can't tell if it really was out of respect or not, but maybe he just was afraid of the Georges coming to haunt him or taking over their house. I can't tell, but that place still looks good and is upkept, but he doesn't do anything with it. I guess he kind of hopes that one day he'll just stop seeing the Georges on the cameras and just move on into the afterlife. One day. But they still go from room to room, and at times they would look confused because the Georges apparently loved children and looked like they were looking for the Franklins' children. I own the house now, and I still keep it the way it is. And yes, the Georges are still here. And I guess it's just my time to have that same respect in death as my father has. I hope one day the Georges do pass on, but for now, it is still their home.
Give me my money is what I would say to those ghosts.
I know.
Where's my rent?
I'm like, man, like so cool, so respectful. I love it.
Pay up.
But at the same time, like, yeah, I'll buy the house. Yeah, I'll take a spooky house, especially if it's like nice ghosts.
Yeah. If they're just hanging out. Although I don't know how I feel about someone watching me sleep.
Oh yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like that.
Maybe if it was like a Beetlejuice situation where they're, you know, they know their boundaries. They're up in the True. Attic. They're hanging. Mm-hmm. They know not to come in my room, but we can still hang out. They can help me with my math homework.
Okay. Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay. That is what I have for us today. What do you have for us?
Well, those were two great stories. Hopefully I can follow them up, okay? So today I have a historical story, of course, of a place in Salt Lake City.
What? Shocking. Oh,
shocker.
Awesome.
So I am so excited to share this story with you because this mystery has plagued me ever since I can remember my first time driving past the place I'm about to tell you about. When I started looking into this piece of local lore, I wasn't sure what to expect, but upon further investigation, it's evident just how deeply the roots of this mystery plunge into the paranormal and spooky scene of Utah.
Heck yeah.
Located at 1246 South and 3rd East in Salt Lake City, lays the pinnacle of local Utah lore, a green building with randomly placed yellow windows and a purple door with crooked black street numbers. Ask anyone downtown if they know about the little green building, and chances are they'll say yes, as well as something along the lines of, oh yeah, that creepy abandoned spot by Nightmare on 13th, I heard they eat kids there. Nothing about this building's facade makes any sense. The colors, the windows, even the location is confusing, because it sits on a street corner in a neighborhood intersection. When you drive down the street, it's like house, 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 OMG. An oddly shaped building inspired by the colors of Barney's vomit. On the front of the building, there are 15 small square and rectangular windows strewn haphazardly across the green wall. One here and one there, each covered with magazine pages and kids' drawings, making it impossible to see inside, some of them placed high and low and without any reason. Another visible side of the building has similar windows, but not nearly as many. There's a wrought iron fence surrounding the backside of the building, and it contains some pretty sad-looking, abandoned, and left-to-rot children's playground toys. The sign hanging on the building just under the roofline is faded and yellowed, and it reads, Fun Time Kids Care. That's right, this creepy old building is an operational daycare.
Okay, that took me way too long to realize what you were talking about. Okay, I'm so excited now.
The building.
Yes, yes. If you like spooky stuff and you live in Utah, you know exactly what we're talking about. I have been so curious about this building. I'm so excited. Continue.
I know. I love this building. Side note. So I have a friend who recently moved to Arizona, and I wanted to send her a box for her birthday of some Utah stuff. And I was looking on Etsy, I just looked up Salt Lake City, and I found a local seller who has stickers of this place, and it says Salt Lake City above the daycare. Like, everyone I know needs some of these right now.
Yes, I need one of those.
All right. While the building itself is painted a cheerful shade of green, something about it seems off and evokes perhaps an odd feeling of dread. Simply put, the vibe just isn't right. I've heard this place be described as something straight out of Silent Hill. And honestly, yeah, it looks like somewhere where the knife-wielding gray children would crawl out of the walls. I guess the best way I can describe the atmosphere of this daycare is similar to that of the back rooms or liminal spaces. For those who aren't familiar with the term, liminal spaces can describe any empty space that feels surreal and has an overwhelming atmosphere of eerie abandonment, kind of like a foggy dream state or a limbo state. Usually, liminal spaces are rooms built for some purpose that would be filled with laughter and joy, but are now empty and hollow, like indoor playgrounds after hours, or abandoned pools and bowling alleys, or the remains of Toys R Us after it closed its doors, and urban explorers filmed their adventures inside the colorful but empty buildings and posted them to YouTube. Liminal spaces are like staring into the void and feeling the void staring right back. Now, with this description in mind, it's not hard to see why so many rumors have been circulating about Fun Time Kids Care for years. The most prominent story I've heard about this place is that neighbors never see anyone going in or coming out of the building, as one would see with any typical daycare, suggesting it's a front for something sinister. This is where the lore diverges in all sorts of directions. Some say the daycare is a secret CIA operative site. Others wholeheartedly believe it's part of a human trafficking ring or an underground organ harvesting lab for the black market, or a Walter White-style meth lab. I've also heard the place is supposedly haunted with spirits of children's past, seeking revenge on their negligent caretakers and forever doomed to play on the rusted monkey bars out back. Interestingly, Funtime Kids Care has gone viral on a couple of occasions online due to its mysterious nature. The first time was back in 2015 when a Reddit user posted a photo of the daycare explaining how they lived across the street for years and had never seen anyone, no parent or child, enter or exit the building. Others added similar stories, reporting that they drive past it every day and the playground sits hauntingly empty. One user chimed in that he was a mailman in the area for some time and frequently delivered to Funtime Kids Care. He confirmed that yes, it is a daycare, and he has seen both caretakers as well as children inside, but he says, quote, "The only strange thing is, no matter what time of day I showed up with their mail, it always seemed to be nap time." Nap time is over! Another commenter said, "They once broke into the building and found a room containing nothing but a single chair facing a screen that was playing a surveillance video of the next room over." I found comments about a Redditor who once posted a photo they took through one of the few uncovered windows. Inside the daycare, there was a scary-looking bunny costume with pointy teeth. I tried to find this photo, but any links that led to it would lead to a page saying, "This user has been banned from Reddit." The original thread posted in r/Salt Lake City has since been taken down due to the owners of the daycare being harassed online, over the phone, and in person. Some even went as far as to call the local authorities and have the place investigated over the online claims. According to an article posted on The Globe, a supervisor for child care licensing named Simon Bolivar inspected the daycare and found no red flags. He said it is indeed a certified daycare, though they only offer care to a few kids. He said, and I quote, "They are in business. The times we have been there, they only have a few kids, perhaps two, but they do have children." When I read that, I immediately thought, huh, a daycare with only three kids at most? Interesting. Well, as it turns out, it's just a regular daycare, and it mainly services families that can't afford typical childcare costs, which is actually really nice if that is true. I found a comment saying the person who owns the daycare does so at a loss, but he lets his mother operate it and provide the childcare so she has something to do. Maybe this explains why the building looks abandoned from the outside. If it does operate at a loss and is more of a hobby, perhaps the outward state of the building is lower on the priority list. Oh, and for the random windows? I found something saying a car once crashed into the building, so in order to make it safer for the kids inside, they created all these small little windows to let in light, but to keep them safe from something like a car crashing through that large window. Okay, so maybe that explains it. But what explains the windows being covered with weird pictures, cardboard, and drawings? Is it to keep the kids inside safe from lurkers peering in? Or is it to keep the public oblivious from something on the inside? The people want to know. Now, do you remember when people were going to storm Area 51 and it became this whole thing online?
Of course.
How could you not? So I actually found a Facebook page called Storm Funtime Kids Care. They can't stop us all.
That's awesome.
And the event was slated to take place on April 20th, 2020 at 4:20 p.m.
Okay.
And over 2,000 people signed up to participate, and it got so much attention online that the police got involved. And they made a public statement telling people, do not storm the daycare.
Did people actually show up?
No, as far as I know, the event never happened, but there are a lot of really funny comments on the Facebook page saying, like, had a great time, 10 out of 10, can't wait to do it again next year.
That's awesome.
Now, throughout all of my reading about this daycare, I became increasingly curious as to how bizarre rumors of this functional building spread online. That was until I randomly saw a video of a snake bite simulator. I know that was a conversational left turn, but hear me out. I promise it ties in. To use the snake bite simulator, the person sticks their hand out and a sped up video displaying the progression of flesh decay is projected onto your skin, simulating what your arm would look like if a certain poisonous snake bit you. Needless to say, it makes your skin look really gross and unrecognizable, with the typical colors of decay like purple and ruby red and black. One of the comments under the video said, "It makes sense why people used to believe snakes were demons. After looking at this, I can see how that rumor started." That comment got me thinking about the Funtime Kids Care virality, and about how all this lore must have started to spread across the internet like wildfire. I mean, I saw it got a lot of attention on YouTube, TikTok, and Reddit, and I even saw someone dress up as the building itself for Halloween. I guess people are always on the hunt to explain the unexplainable, just like how people believed poisonous snakes were demons because they cause active decay and death. People are willing to believe that a sad-looking daycare is a front for organ trading on the black market. I'll be honest, discovering that it's nothing more than a daycare left me a little disappointed. I was too hopeful that something out of the ordinary would explain the building's odd design. I've heard so many ghost stories about this place throughout my life, and now I feel let down. The reality of its existence is painfully mundane. That being said, do you think organ harvesters or CIA agents would ever actually divulge to the public about their operations? Yeah, I don't think so either. And in my mind, the mystery of that liminal space blissfully remains. It's truly an iconic structure of Salt Lake's landscape. So, dear listeners, next time you're driving on 13th South, take a gander at Funtime Kids Care. I promise you'll feel the void staring back.
Oh, my gosh. Dang it. I was so hopeful. It was like it was a front for something. Dang it.
Dang it. I even found a 4chan page where people took photos through the windows and you just see a lady looking at them from the inside.
Creepy.
I think that she was just there at the daycare and is like, why are people taking photos of me?
So like one of the moms dropping off her kids or something.
Just like picking them up. It could have been the mom who runs the operation.
Right. Right. That mom. Yeah. But yeah, this place is so weird. It's like, yeah. Okay. Good to know about the windows. That makes sense. Because the windows are so randomly placed.
And when we say random, we mean random. There's like three little ones on the bottom, one 4x4 square on the top. There's so many tiny windows all over this building.
Yeah.
So sorry to let you guys down. There's no murder or death that I could find, but I did find a really funny Facebook group, and I think you guys should go check it out. They can't stop all of us.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, I guess that's good to know, because I've wondered about that place, but not, I guess, enough to just Google it myself. But now we know.
Now we know.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Sorry, guys. Go watch a scary movie or something.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have anything else before we wrap up?
No, that's it for me.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. We will scare you in the next one.
Stay spooky. Bye.
Just checking time.
You should keep that in.
I'm just over here drinking my Mountain Dew.
Did somebody hear that? I think we have a ghost.
Guys, I'm scared. Do you guys hear that? I'm scared.
Whoa, you guys.
Okay. Hey, calm down. This is supposed to be serious. These are dead people we're talking about. We're going to get canceled again for your laughing.
I don't care.
All right. We can leave that as an outtake at like the end of the episode or something.
That's a great idea.